This is an audio summary for your AIL 80102 course. The reading is Prediction Machines, Chapter 4, The Job of Prediction, by Ajay Agrawal, Joshua Gans, and Avi Goldfarb. In 1687, Edward Lloyd opened a coffee house in London near the docks. It became a hangout for ship workers who traded gossip and information. Lloyd understood his real business wasn't coffee, it was information. So he published a pamphlet called Lloyd's List that compiled shipping news, which ships were coming and going, sea conditions, maritime details. This was the 17th century, but the information was global. Why did people care about this information? Partly gossip, sure, but mostly advantage. There was serious gambling happening, betting on which bugs could climb a wall fastest, yes, but also betting on whether an admiral would be executed, whether a ship would return by a certain date. These bets mattered economically. But here's the innovation. Offering bets wasn't just for fun. For shipping companies, it was risk mitigation. A ship represented enormous capital. If it didn't return, the investors faced catastrophic losses. Delays created lost opportunities and market impacts. If your business depended on imports, one delayed shipment could ruin you. Shipping companies were constantly gambling. The question was how to manage that risk. The answer was insurance. A betting market transformed into a risk management mechanism. What started in Lloyd's Coffee House eventually became Lloyd's of London, the centuries-old insurance institution that still operates today, though they serve coffee now out of nostalgia more than necessity. This story illustrates the fundamental relationship between prediction and decision-making. Decision makers want certainty, or at least to minimize risk. Economists call this risk aversion, the preference to avoid uncertainty. If you're offered $50 when a dice roll turns up 3 and nothing otherwise, you're risk averse if you'd rather take a guaranteed $9 instead. Same logic works in reverse. If you face a potential loss of $50 when the dice comes up 3, you're risk averse if you'll pay more than $10 to eliminate that risk. Risk averse decision makers face a choice: decline the gamble or buy insurance. With insurance, you pay a premium to shift risk to someone else. The person underwriting the insurance needs to price it correctly, charge enough to cover expected losses, plus a margin for managing the uncertainty. Better prediction lets underwriters price insurance more accurately. They can calculate odds more precisely, which means better priced insurance, which means they can offer coverage that was previously too risky or expensive to underwrite. The practical impact appears clearly when you look at farmers in developing countries. A farmer considering whether to expand their maize cultivation faces enormous uncertainty. The yield depends entirely on rainfall, which they can't control. High rainfall means high yield. Low rainfall means crop failure and family hunger. That risk is so severe it stops farmers from investing in more land, better seeds, or borrowing for inputs. Researchers actually tested this. In Ghana, they gave some farmers cash grants, some rainfall insurance, some both, and some neither, then measured impacts on cultivation investment. Cash alone didn't help much. It wasn't just about access to money. But farmers with access to rainfall insurance increased their investment by 10 to 15% on average, even though they rarely insured more than 60% of their land. The certainty insurance provided changed their decision. Now imagine if those farmers had access to excellent rainfall forecasts instead of insurance. They could decide which years to plant aggressively based on predicted rainfall. The prediction would do what insurance does: reduce their risk exposure and change their decisions toward riskier but more profitable options. Here's the key insight: insurance and good prediction accomplish similar things. Both can transform a risky option into something more manageable. But one is temporary, the other might become permanent. As predictions improve, decision makers will switch from needing insurance to relying on predictions. Consider weather prediction. Everyone understands that better weather forecasts are valuable. You might skip carrying an umbrella if the forecast says clear skies. But weather forecasting is really significant in wartime. Major battles in history hinged on weather. D-Day, the Normandy invasion, required avoiding storms in the English Channel. Good weather forecasts made the difference between success and catastrophe. During World War II, there was a weather prediction advantage asymmetry. Storms move east across the Atlantic. The US, positioned to the west, could measure weather systems and forecast conditions on the European side with better accuracy than Germany could. Germany faced a huge disadvantage. In 1943, they actually sent a U-boat across the Atlantic with a team to establish a weather station in North Labrador. It took incredible effort. They had to find a remote location, automate the station with heavy batteries for power, set it up, test transmissions, paint it with Canadian Meteor Service markings, hoping no one would touch it. Within a day and a half, they had to leave to avoid Allied patrols. The transmissions worked briefly, but were blocked within weeks. Germany tried again in 1944, but the U-boat was intercepted. The weather station wasn't discovered until 1980. The point isn't that predictions were valuable, that's obvious. It's exactly when they're valuable. Predictions matter when they reduce risk in situations where you'd otherwise be making risky decisions blindly. With better forecasts, Eisenhower could plan D-Day's timing around weather. He had information the Germans lacked. But here's a complication. Not all predictions are equally good. During World War II, the U.S. Navy employed future Nobel laureate economist Ken Arrow as a weather forecaster. His team of statisticians was tasked with forecasting weather a month ahead. They discovered their forecasts were no better than random guessing. They weren't really forecasting at all. They suggested the Navy assign them to something else. The reply from command was striking. The commanding general is well aware the forecasts are no good. However, he needs them for planning purposes. Orders were orders. This reveals something crucial. Not all predictions are created equal. For centuries, American farmers bought the farmer's almanac for seasonal weather predictions, despite these being no better than a groundhog's guess. But scientific weather prediction has improved dramatically. It relies on data collection, which is why Germany was desperate enough to send U-boats to Canada and computers to model atmospheric systems. A 5-day weather forecast today is as accurate as a 1-day forecast was 15 years ago. But how do you actually use an imperfect forecast? Meteorologists know that when multiple forecasting models agree, the forecast is much more reliable than when they disagree. So the real question for a decision maker becomes, when is a prediction reliable enough to act on? Imagine a farmer considering applying fertilizer. Fertilizer is expensive, and if it rains shortly after application, the expense is wasted. The farmer decides they'd only plant if the rain probability over the next week is 5% or lower. They get a forecast showing 4% rain probability. Is that enough to plant? Only if they know the forecast's reliability. If the weather service is 95% accurate overall, that 95% might mean it predicted rain when there was none 5% of the time, or it predicted no rain when there was rain 5% of the time. That's a critical difference when your input is a forecast of low rain. Initially, as predictions improve, you might not do much better than before or even slightly worse. But eventually, as reliability rises, performance improves significantly. The relationship between prediction accuracy and decision quality isn't always linear. There's often a threshold. Speed matters too. A prediction made after the event it predicted is worthless. But there are many domains where we know how to predict something, but can't generate the prediction in time to act on it. During the telegraph era, East Coast operators knew storms were coming because telegraph lines in Ohio went down the evening before. Once information could travel faster than weather, winds no longer came as surprises. In the 1800s, the constraint on weather forecasting was data. In the 1900s, it became computational power. You'd need more than 24 hours to calculate a 24-hour forecast. Modern supercomputers solved that. Recently, a different constraint emerged. Mobile phones changed how people consume forecasts. They didn't want forecasts generated the night before. They wanted minute-by-minute updates as conditions changed. This required automatic systems that could produce forecasts without human validation. Peter Neely, who worked for the weather company, realized that requiring human forecaster sign-off on every prediction created a bottleneck. For day-ahead forecasts, fine. For hourly updates, impossible. The solution was reorganization. Routine forecasts became automated. Extreme predictions, storms, tornadoes, still required human involvement. Forecasts became on-demand rather than scheduled. There was a trade-off, some loss of accuracy for much better speed. This creates a new dynamic for decision makers, the option value of waiting. With forecasts getting better as you get closer to the event, there's often value in delaying your decision. You're not going to decide whether to carry an umbrella after you leave the house, but for planning an outdoor activity a week out, you can benefit from waiting for more accurate information as the week approaches. Better prediction doesn't necessarily make decisions easier. It makes the decision calculus more complex because you have more options about when to decide. There are two fundamental ways to manage risk beyond hoping for the best. First, insurance. You take actions to reduce the cost of bad outcomes. You cultivate aggressively, betting on rain while also buying rain insurance so the risk is hedged. Second, protection. You take actions to reduce the probability of bad outcomes. You plant more weather-resistant crops. You take fewer risks directly. Air Canada faced this trade-off with cargo. On capacity-constrained routes, 20% of cargo shipments were no-shows, and overall 45% of their cargo capacity flew empty. Planes were flying half-empty. The challenge was predicting cargo demand, which was much harder than predicting passengers. Passengers might show up last minute, but it's proportionally small. Cargo weight could change dramatically at the last minute. There was profound uncertainty. This was a perfect problem for AI prediction. Air Canada had the data, the motivation was clear, visible waste, and the problem was contained internally. They built a prediction model that promised to reduce unused capacity by a quarter on average. Implementation required some retraining of cargo handlers to deal with more inventory and pack efficiently, but that was a one-time investment. Air Canada's old approach was insurance-type risk management. They left buffer capacity to handle demand surges, which enabled customers to change orders at the last minute. Alternatively, they could have chosen protection. Target only customers with stable, regular shipping needs, lock in long-term contracts, eliminate last-minute flexibility, and eliminate waste. They didn't do that, which tells you something. Customers willing to change orders at the last minute are worth more than customers with stable needs, at least in air cargo. But here's the broader point. With insurance-type strategies, waste is visible, you see the empty seats. With protection strategies, waste is hidden, you see full planes, and don't notice you've locked yourself into lower-value customers. This means businesses often adopt AI when waste is visible, but ignore opportunities when waste is hidden, but equally real. When prediction becomes a cheap and reliable input to decisions, you stop buying insurance for uncertainty you can now predict, and you shift from taking protective action to taking informed risks. Accepting uncertainty, you've learned to predict and manage. Prediction's true job in business is to transform expensive uncertainty into manageable risk, enabling better decisions without the cost of insurance or the rigidity of protection.